Well, leveling up, first it's a mindset. It's the fact that no matter how great you are, there's always another level. So no matter how amazing, you know, you've been doing things now, it's like, let's celebrate, let's rejoice at where we've come from, and let's get to the next one.
Hello, innovators. I'm Todd Wyant, and welcome to the Bridging the Gap podcast, sponsored by Applied Software. You're invited to join our MEP in Construction Innovation Adventure with the mission to propel this great industry forward. My guest today is Dan Walschmidt. Dan is a champion ultra runner, an elite strategist to business leaders around the world. He doesn't just talk about success, he's obsessed with it. Dan is also the chief revenue officer of Panzera and is going to be our keynote speaker at the Digital Agility Summit on January 21st. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Dan, great to be with you. And you know what? I love that. Sometimes people get like these bios that are like 90 paragraphs long. And so it's great. We're in, we're here, we're doing shit. It's awesome.
That's right. Let's dive into it. So ultra running, you don't come across a lot of ultra runners. How'd you get into the sport?
So I had long friends, I guess. So I've been running since I was a young child. My dad would take me out on runs and I just enjoyed it. And over time I was running more and more, and I had a couple of friends who were like, we're going to run a long race. And so I ran this race. It's a 24-hour race. And I was going to try to run like 140 miles. And long story short, I failed epically, but I ran 71 miles and I had never run that distance before. I'd run like 10 miles, 12 miles. And all of a sudden one day I woke up and ran 71 miles. I was out of shape and fat and just clumsy and like an idiot, basically. Not too dissimilar to how I am now. And I just went and did it. And then the next day I had a mentor call me and I was bummed and all negative. And he was like, dude, the longest you've ever run is a half marathon. For you to go out and run 71 miles is absolutely amazing. Like, go, you know, that's, you know, change your attitude. So long story short, ended up running the Arkansas Traveler 100 a few months later, came in fourth place overall, and then I was hooked. I was hooked. I thought, wow, you know what? This is like you feel all of the emotions from the high highs to the low lows, to hating your life, to feeling like 3 seconds of bliss when you cross the finish line and do something that like, you never imagined is possible. And so I love it. It's not a competition against your peers. It's really a competition against yourself. And so that's why I love it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I imagine that with running 100 miles, I mean, running any distance is a mental sport in and of itself. Running 100 miles, that's a big mental toughness game.
Yeah, well, you know, the interesting is that now there's a new type of race called Last Man Standing. And actually, there's a young lady named Courtney DeWalter, who's just amazing. So the Last Man Standing, these sort of races now say, every like 45 minutes, you have to run a 3-mile loop. And we do this forever. Or it's like usually every 60 minutes, you run a 4-mile loop. We do this forever. And she ran 68 loops, which means 68 consecutive hours of running, which is like 250 miles or something like that before she...
It's insane.
And what happens is you keep running and then there's one person that's like last man standing or last woman standing. It's literally one person keeps running and the other person just has to stop. And so there's no sleep, you're struggling with it. So it's not the race, it's not the running. It's the fact that you're putting yourself in this position where you have to find something within yourself to achieve what you think you want. And I'm sure you can do this in tennis or you can do this in probably crocheting or something, but there's this weird forced place of suffering that you go and find something. And it's the only way. Otherwise you drop out, you give up, you move on, you make excuses.
Yeah, definitely. Well, what lessons have you learned from being a champion ultra runner that have made you better at business?
Oh, I often joke if I ever write a book, it would be like, you know, everything I learned in life, I learned running or something, you know, something. I know it's so corny and cliche, but, but, you know, I've sent an email to one of our executives late last night. And I said, you know, I'm not sure exactly what to do, but what I've learned from running is let's just put one foot in front of the other. And, you know, you don't run 100 miles. You run 4 miles to the next aid station, and you run 5 miles to the next aid station, then you run 7.1 miles to the next aid station. You're always running from where you are to that next aid station. It's the same way you build, you know, $1 billion company. It's the same way you, you know, you roll out technology, land new customers, expand, grow. It's not the whole, it's not the thing. It's the steps. It's the footprints along the way that get you there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. So you're about leveling up. What does that mean to you? What does leveling up mean?
Well, it's an attitude, I think, first and foremost, right? So there's certain people that, and we all know them, or, you know, it's like when there's an obstacle in their way or when something happens that's bad, the first reaction is to point outward, right? Like somebody right. else, it's life, it's Trump.
The blame the game starts.
It's COVID. Yeah, exactly. It's something else other than me. And the leveling up, it's first, it's a mindset. It's the fact that no matter how great you are, there's always another level. So no matter how amazing, you know, you've been doing things now, it's like, let's celebrate, let's rejoice at where we've come from, and let's get to the next level. Let's keep reimagining what's possible, what's greatness. And so what this means is, there's no need for a blame game, because if you do great, there's another level. If you fail, well, there's clearly another level. So you just keep striving for the next level. And that whole reimagining of the level is what enables you to kind of keep focused on, you know, this idea of excellence, this idea of greatness. We call it inside Panzera, being awesome. We use the word awesome a lot. And I think that helps you achieve the next level, because if you measure what you're doing by the words, is this awesome? Then you very clearly decide if you're at that level or not, right? So if you say, you know, is this podcast good enough? The answer is probably yes. You know, did I try to do this okay? Yeah. But when you say, is this awesome? Then you might go, well, my notes were awesome. My guests, that dude sucked, you know? you might decide, you're going to position this in different ways to find a way to level up. We're going to level up our guests. We're going to level up our preparedness or our content or something like that. It's a really cool way to think about this, right? Is this awesome? If the answer is no, or I'm not sure. Well, if the answer is I'm not sure, then it's not awesome, because you'll know when it's awesome. That gives you gives you foot guidelines, guide rails to get closer to where you want to be.
This episode is brought to you in part by StandbyNess, a multidisciplined professional services firm serving clients nationally with a strategic focus on AEC, professional services, real estate, and manufacturing industries. Through the StandbyNess family of companies, clients have access to a sophisticated menu of services, including compliance, business and tax advisory, technology, Microsoft solution, Dell Tech ERP software, strategic growth advisory, and next-gen solutions. As an anticipatory organization, StandbyNess fully utilizes and invests in innovative tools and practices, giving clients direct access to high-level industry expertise that's collaborative, forward-thinking, and future-ready. Connect with them today at StandbyNess.com to learn more about how to accelerate growth and profitability. They are also a featured sponsor at Applied Software's Digital Agility Summit, a virtual conference on January 21st. It's time to build digital resiliency. Go to digitalagilitysummit.com to claim your ticket today. See you there. Yeah, absolutely. I love the challenging aspect of it, of always keep challenging yourself. So I'm a competitive swimmer, so there's always a new goal to hit. There's always a new benchmark to really go after. How does grit come into play when you're talking about leveling up?
Yeah, so, you know, Angela Duckworth kind of came up with this idea of grit. She didn't come up with it, but she's kind of articulated it well with the book name, Grit.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I'm not smart enough to really know what grit is all about. I get sometimes the essence of it, but here's what I know in my simple mind. If you don't persist, then your dreams don't exist. So It doesn't matter what obstacles are in your way, or it doesn't matter if you don't know how it's going to happen. Your job is just to persist. And that simplifies things. You know, I don't know who said it, like, you know, half of success is just showing up. But, but there could be more truth to that. Like showing up for life, showing up for work, showing up for your family, showing up for your peers, showing up, just showing up. Another thing I often say to myself, and I've probably said this hundreds of times, you know, what if today was the day you were going to win and you didn't show up? Today was, it was your day. I've read so many biographies of amazing people, from, you know, rich old people like Rockefeller to really cool people doing some stuff in the last, you know, decade or two. And it's interesting. It's like there's this struggle as it goes up and down and down and down and down and up and then down and down and down. And there's this journey. And then there's this moment where it's like a little switch is flipped. And it's like that begins what we know about them as their assault on greatness, right? That's where we find out about them. That's where we learn their story. And I kind of asked myself, you know, is it better for me to give up and just walk away from this entirely, whatever it is? Or is it better that I persist and increase my odds at that moment where everything goes in my favor and life is my destiny, you know, becomes reality? I mean, we throw around these thoughts. You know, Henry Ford went bankrupt, you know, five times before he ended up with the formula for warehousing. Like most of us, you know, I've lost a home in pursuit of a business idea. I was like, you know, it's either pay the mortgage or pursue your dream. So I'm going to pursue my dream. And I've ended up losing, being on the losing end of that. That's not cool. That sucks. But imagine losing everything like five times over and having to rebuild. Most of us are just not willing to pursue that. You know, we throw Thomas Edison at, you know, 10,000 tries at a light bulb or something. Yeah, sure. But we kind of make that one big number. Oh, he did 10,000 tries, but it was a try, and then a try, and then a try, and then a try. And it would consume the rest of our podcast if we just said tries. But that's the sort of, you know, that's the sort of challenge. You know, Macy's, you know, who built the famous department store, went, you know, lost everything three times. The store, his flagship store, burned to the ground. They had to rebuild it. Colonel Sanders was 65 before he started. What we know of is, you know, KFC, you know, and then turned that into a billion-dollar company from 65 to 95. So his whole life was built on, you know, was a series of dotted lines to get him to where he ended up being. And he was a cantankerous old man. And I hear they're building a Lifetime movie around his story, which is very interesting. Sure. And I probably
there's a probably Lifetime movie for everything if you want it.
Exactly. But there's something simplistic about being backed into the corner. There's something about being at rock bottom, is that the only way up is up. The only way out is out. You can't go back.
Right.
And I'm, you know, Todd, one of my theories is, I started writing my second book. I codenamed it The Law of Awesome because that's a lot of the stories, you know, I couldn't put in the first book or in the second book about people who are doing awesome things. People who shouldn't be doing awesome things are actually doing quite awesome things. Long story short, one of the things I just came away with was this idea that the incubation, you know, the ingredients for awesomeness, one of the biggest ingredients is suffering. And the more suffering does two things to us. It either breaks us when we give up and we walk away, or it puts us in a situation where we are clear-minded about where we need to go and what we need to do. We have all, in executive positions, had to make hard decisions about letting people go or not hiring, or, you know, working from home, all these different sort of scenarios that are very uncomfortable. But, I mean, come on. How does that, I mean, you have people dying of deep diseases and you know, and let alone COVID, you know, other diseases, and it's traumatic and hard, and people are suffering, and, you know, we have it too good. we have it too good to do things that are awesome. Think about it. Our businesses are good enough to kind of limp along without really achieving, you know, epic focus because of hard times. In our personal lives, we've got enough to have some credit card debt, have a few cars, go on vacations a couple times a year. But if we keep saying, I want more, we keep saying, I'm going to do more. We keep saying, like, this year is my year. I'm going to pay off all my debt, or I'm going to, you know, make $1 million. I'm going to start investing. I'm going to start that new business idea. And we never get to it because we don't allow the suffering in our lives that crystallizes the purpose of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I told someone the other day, that moment happens for me at around mile 51. So I'm running a 100-mile race. As soon as I get to mile 51, I'm like, all right, so it's all home stretch now. It doesn't matter that it's 51 more miles or 49 more miles.
Right.
It's all home. It's all
downhill.
Home stretch. It's all downhill, yeah. Right? It's not, but that's how my brain works.
Mentally, it's downhill.
That's right. So for me, the running, and this goes back to the first question you asked me, is that a bit of self-induced suffering to help you realize what really matters and to build that resolve within your soul to do what needs to be done? Because what needs to be done, quite candidly, for all of us, all of our businesses, technology or otherwise, it's probably uncomfortable, right? It's probably, you know, less than desirable. It's not something you would go, yep, I'll take this. Let's have a sucky quarter backed up by unknown IT spend, backed up by, you know, perilous election times, backed up by an inauguration we think might or might not happen. Let's choose that. And that's our ideal. It's just silly, right? But that's the opportunity we have to lead teams that find greatness, is using these moments, not to run from them, not to hide from them, not to point fingers at somebody else, but to say, in this moment, like every great moment, there are those who truly choose to do what is awesome. And that's going to be us. Not because we're some special people with special education, with special gifts. You know, we're not part of the Justice League or anything like that. We're just normal people, but we make a choice. And that's a bit of the secret behind all of this, is that you just choose. You choose to persist so that your dreams can continue to exist.
Yeah. Love that. So how is a failure or apparent failure kind of set you up for later success?
Oh, dude. I mean, I've failed so many times. It's unbelievable. Some of them shockingly bad. And I've done business deals where someone walked away with, you know, $300,000 or $400,000 of my money, and I've gotten nothing from it. I've lost homes, you know, things like that. But I remember one particular story that has stayed with me forever. There was one time when I was in sales early on, 19, 20, 21, something like this. And I was selling heating and air conditioning equipment. And in this company, it was, you know, like very low base salary, if anything at all. Maybe it was a draw against future commissions. And I'm driving this company truck, and I'm you know, trying to make some deals. And I just sucked. I just had to tell you, Todd, I was horrible. And so, like, the amount of money was going down and down and down. I was making more money, like, previously landscaping at, you know, 10 bucks an hour, 8 bucks an hour, something like that. Just was not good at this craft. Like, I was just trying and trying and trying. I was putting on a brave face, and no one knew. It was just horrible. And I remember one time I left the house, and I knew I had no more money in my bank account at all. Like, I had to go close the sale, get some money, cash it, and then go put some gas in the vehicle. And I ended up closing a deal, getting some money. And before I could get to the gas station, my car, this old Plymouth car that used to be my grandparents, they gave it to me. Just, you know, you hear the pum, 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 and, you know, you're running out of gas. And so I pulled into this parking lot, and I wasn't smart because I parked at the top and it was a hill. I thought, you know, if I could just get the car going again, then I can make it. It's about a gas station, you know, quarter mile down the road, so I can get down the road. Maybe it's a half mile down the road. Couldn't see it, but I knew it was there because I knew where the road was. And I'm wearing those penny loafer shoes, which have great grip on the bottom. And I'm sitting here, and I'm pushing, like, my shoulders against the door, and I'm pushing the car up the hill. And I could make it, like, 6 or 7 feet, and then it would roll back down. And I must have tried to push this car up this hill. It was hours. It was probably 2 or 3 hours. I'm just pushing. And every time I make a few feet, and then it rolls back down. And I'm even trying to put my foot under the tire to stop it from rolling. And then my shoe is stuck there because my shoe's under the tire. And then I let it roll back, pull my shoe out, all mashed. And then I realized, like, look, dude, you're just not physically able to do this. Like, this is outside your ability. And I just, sounds stupid. I just cried. I was so broken that for the first time I realized that you can't do this thing. You just can't. And so I called my dad up and I said, hey, you know, I'm out of gas. Can you come get me gas? He brought a gas can filled up. And of course I gave him a big hug and he was kind of like, what's your problem? Why is this a big deal? For him, it was a kind of a throwaway moment. For me, it was just with that, you know, if you're going to win this game called life, you've got to toughen up. You've got to stop being an idiot. And you've got to start doing what matters and stop just going through the motions. I mean, I was just doing everything that everyone else thought I should be doing or I thought they wanted me to do. And that began a transformation where I went on and ended up selling millions and millions of dollars of heating and air conditioning equipment after the fact. I started becoming relentless, hired a coach to help me with sales. Went through the Sandler sales system. Like things changed, but it took a moment like that where I just had to look myself in the mirror and said, do you want to be a person who pretends but never makes it? Like this car, 7 feet forward, 7 feet back, 7 feet forward, time after time after time. Or do you want to be someone who make it happen? Yeah, it's one of those stories that means nothing to anyone else. So totally get, but I suspect that, you know, you and everyone listening have had stories like that of your own, where you just decide, I'm in. If this is going to be the way we go, I'll burn it all down. But I'm not quitting.
Right.
I'm not giving up. It's going to happen.
Yeah. No, I think everybody has to come to that moment and realization of, you know, burn the ships for themselves. And that's a great story.
So tattoo on my arm. It's literally, that's the way with tattooed on my arm.
Oh, that moment.
It's right here. You can't see. Burn the ships. It's literally
nice.
A ship.
Nice. So. That's awesome. Hey, innovators. Make sure to start your new year off right. Don't be blindsided by rising IT costs due to outdated infrastructure and changing technologies. It's time to build digital resiliency at Applied Software's Digital Agility Summit, a virtual conference on January 21st. Join this transformative AEC conversation that will unite you with peers and industry leaders for digital transformation in Richmond. As a thank you for being a loyal listener, use the code BTG to get your free basic ticket. That's normally a $50 value. Go to digitalagilitysummit.com to claim your spot today. See you there. Love it. So the theme of the upcoming Digital Agility Summit is all about building better digital resiliency in AEC. Wondering, what does digital resiliency, what does that mean to you? How's it strike you?
So, I think agility is important. I think we're going to talk about a couple ways where you can be ready to be agile. I think of agility, like if we use a different word, fitness, kind of changes your mindset about the whole topic, right?
Yeah.
When you're fit, you have a lot of options. You can be agile. So we're going to talk about some lessons, some ideas where to position yourself so that when everyone else is hunkered down and afraid of what's going to happen next, you've got the plan to persist. You've got the plan to become the breakthrough leader. By the way, I'll say this, there's no better time than right now to be that person, to be beginning to get ready, because I mean, there's a general fear. There's confusion. And I have to tell you, from a political landscape, I don't see this changing. I don't see the hate and the fear and the name calling going away. And what that means is that business leaders are a little more cautious of this new political and economic climate. So how can you, as a business leader, in the IT space, position yourself so that you're taking advantage of opportunities that others are just pulling back from? I think that's the secret. And there's a couple, five or six surefire ways to do that. And before I came to, Panzura, I helped companies all over the world reposition a strategy and worked with companies like Microsoft and Cisco and Citrix and Turkish Airlines. And these are billion-dollar challenges. And we're not going to certainly talk too much about the B word, but there's a lot of companies that are attending that are trying to make millions and millions of dollars, right? They're trying to get back on the right track. And so there are some practical lessons that we'll be talking about. One of the ways to hack your position in the marketplace is to use systems and process to drive follow-up and follow-through. What's interesting is that the moment of stress for our customers isn't about the problem they're facing or about what you're doing about it. It's one word: uncertainty. And uncertainty can be solved with either clarity or information status. And so, it's interesting to me how follow up and follow through with the expectation that you're going to do something awesome. Most people feel better, act better, and of course, it helps your brand, elevate. And so there's some really neat steps. One of the things we teach is every morning, especially if you're a customer success manager or territory manager, or you're just in support teams, looking at all of the people that you helped the previous day and sending a simple note that says, hey, Todd, we talked yesterday about X, Y, and Z. How's it all going? You good? Everything fine? And then, by the way, if you have a signature that has, some advertisement in it, like even this upcoming event, that's obviously an advertisement for where you're going, but the message itself says beyond what our relationship is as a support entity or a sales entity, we care about you. That simple message, that sort of structure and that discipline around it has resulted in just one of those companies alone I mentioned that sells the software that goes on the computer. That company alone made over $230 million 1 year by making a slight adjustment to their follow-up process, where every morning, even after a ticket was closed, they would follow up with someone and say, what else can we do for you?
Yeah.
That's those simple tweaks are what drive you forward. So anyways, we'll talk about that and more, some practical things you can begin to do right after the event. And so I'm excited about it. When is it, by the way, Todd? There's a time.
January 21st is the big day.
Okay, I'll have to remember to comb my hair, make sure I wear a colored shirt, not a Lululemon sweatshirt. Yeah. Like I say, listen.
There you go.
You know what I mean? Talk about being flexible. Lulu. There you go. I can't knock Lulu. You know what I mean? I mean, they need to make dress shirts. It'll be the coup de grace, just wearing very comfortable dress shirts.
That's right. I've lived in the Lulu joggers all year, so it's that's been my go-to.
Yes, I was going to show you, but the audience doesn't care about my pants. But yes, totally, dude. Totally, yep. Very comfortable. From the top up, you look very business-like. At the bottom, you could be wearing joggers, or in the summertime, third dog shorts. So
there you go. I actually have my joggers on now, even though I have a dress shirt and sweater on. It's the blessings of 2020.
There you go.
That's right.
When you were navigating through those questions, I knew this is a comfortable man.
That's right. Well, let's get into some digital transformation happening in the AEC. What's something that kind of piques your curiosity right now about this big transformation happening throughout the industry?
So one of the things we've been looking at is this idea to connect AEC companies who are partnering or joint venturing on projects together around a common set of files. So I think that's what's interesting. It's very interesting is that it's kind of the age of give me the whole project are over. So collaboration is really key. And so us working together, even across similar functions is something that's happening across the entire AEC vertical.
Yeah. Well, in this time of, big disruption, what does leadership really look like? How can people come into the conference and, CIOs really look at what their leadership should be like in this time?
No, I'm not an expert on leadership. I mean, I always feel unqualified to answer any of these sort of questions, but I'll just tell you from my gut, it feels like people want to know, one, that you as a leader are real. So all of the things we're talking about fall apart if you're a phony. And so one, bring the intention of I'm going to do right by my people. And I think the people attending, the fact that they're showing up, probably means they're real, they're genuine. Mm. The second thing is, sometimes I'll have conversations with individuals on my team or on a team below a team, and I realize, you weren't in the meetings I was in yesterday. You weren't a part of the executive level conversation. So you're left wondering what the heck is going on. And I already know. I already know what's coming. Yeah. And so communication is really, really clear. One of the things we started doing inside Panzura since we purchased the company a few months ago was one of rapidly accelerating our communication internally and attempting to do the same thing externally. Every 2 weeks, we have an all hands meeting with my entire team, all the teams that roll up to me, which is sales, which is marketing, customer success, territory, enterprise, channel, solution architects, 5 or 6 or 7 people, LATAM, EMEA, and the United States, all of that, every single person, every 2 weeks where we talk communication. Here's what's happening. Here's what you're doing. Here's what's exciting. Here's the next promotion. Here's the goal. Here's our mission. So communicate. And then we have everyone in the entire company at least once a month, if not more. And then we started doing happy hours where we're shipping out care packages. Wasn't even thinking to everybody in the company.
Yeah.
So we send out boxes and we all get together and we talk about it. So there's a gift box that goes out to everybody in the entire company. And I don't know. There's cookies or some more stuff in here too. They're like, did you get your box? I'm like, yes, but I've got boxes everywhere. So sure, I'll get to it. But make no mistake, I'll get exponentially more value from my team because they know, hopefully, we as a company, we as leaders care. And right. I think those sort of things help. I mean, as soon as COVID hit, we gave everyone in the company an extra $1,000 to go buy digital gear. Right. And that doesn't seem like a lot, but again, they already have a company laptop and stuff. But like, if you needed a new monitor or a new webcam or a light, we're not going to micromanage it. You spend the money however you want, or just frankly, go to the bar and drink and use your money that way. But that money would give you the chance to kind of set up your home office. You want to buy a mouse pad, buy a mouse pad. You want to buy a standalone microphone, go buy a standalone microphone. We don't care. Is that kind of that money to go do it your way? I think things like that get your team going, okay, I got this. I've got the tools to make this work. And you asked me the question, what should leaders do? Man, I don't know. I'm in it up like everyone else. But I think I let my people know, look, I care about you. I love you guys. You're my team, right? We're going to go to war together. That being said, I'm holding you to a high standard, but I want you to know that first and foremost, we're in this together. So this is kind of where my head's at. This is where I'm kind of working through. This is the nuts and bolts of what I think leading is. It's just talking about the things that are uncomfortable. People are afraid. People are nervous. They want to know what's going on, And so not being afraid to have those conversations and sometimes forcing it is the best way to lead.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's a great answer because I think the caring is the foundation. And then once they know that you care, then they're interested in what you have to say to them. And then they will, that high standard that you're holding them to, they're going to want to live up to that. That's great.
Yeah, I think that's right. I've always been willing to go to war for people that I thought, you know, cared about me, you know, weren't selfish, weren't narcissistic, weren't selfish, you know, guys, people that were like, hey, we're doing this together. And so I've tried to model that behavior. Again, I'm human, so there are days where I'm just like, hey, get up and do this, you know. But more times than not, I feel like that message comes through loud and clear to the team, and they just rise to the occasion. And, you know, look, it's working. You know, we've been 150% revenue growth quarter over quarter. And it's just, it's we're on a 300% growth curve right now, in spite of all the craziness happening with it. And it's not one thing. And it's not me as the leader. I'm not selling it. It's the team. But I think it's this pathway of communication. And so, like, in that case, like a gift box of $200 a piece, it's probably worth it, right? When you're growing fast, and things like that too. By the way, when we walked in the door here, there were 300 roughly employees. We decided who was redundant and reduced that down to 100. So we're growing at 150% quarter over quarter with one third the number of employees we used to have. Go figure that out.
Wow. That's impressive. So for those that don't know, what is Panzura and how do people find more information?
Panzura owns this space around user data management. And just like you have companies like Cohesity, Nutanix, and Rubrik who do backup, we provide intelligence and a global file system around the files you use every day, your primary files. And so for a CIO or for a systems integrator or for an AEC company looking for a solution, we allow you to take the same files, compress, dedupe, and encrypt them, and have that same file be available everywhere you have an office, everywhere you have people. And very soon, Todd, we also have a mobile app, which will be running on laptops and all kinds of edge devices now, extending the reach even further. So, you know, Panzura just allows you to have your user files everywhere very safely, and very quickly. So.
Awesome. Well, last question that I ask all my guests, what does innovation mean to you?
So I'll go back to what you asked the question a couple of minutes ago, which is leveling up. I think innovation for me is all about this idea of leveling up. And you know, there are things that I don't think are innovative that other people do, and it's cool. That's their leveling up, right? And there's things that we think are awesome that other people may go, hey, who cares about that? So I think this idea about innovation is like, what if you didn't have limits? You know, what if you didn't have boundaries for what you thought was possible? What if you could just achieve the thing that's on your mind? What is that thing? That's where you start getting into some truly remarkable stuff, the stuff that no one else has done before. So that's the bar. That's the bar.
Yeah. Well, Dan, thanks so much for coming on the show. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, dude. And I'm excited about hanging with you again in January.
Yeah, it'll be a fun event. Thanks for keynoting that conference.
Yeah, you bet.
And now it's time for my Todd takes for this episode. First take, I so appreciate Dan's challenge at the beginning of this new year. What is the next right thing? The example of him running ultra marathons and focusing not on the end of the race, but on the next aid station is a practical call for all of us. As we kick off this new year, think of your goals in shorter sprints. Get some wins under your belt early this year to allow your momentum to build. Challenge yourself. What is the next level that you can reach this month? That brings me to my second take, and it's part of that challenge. You would be amazed at just how far you will go by simply showing up. Dan had the line, "You choose to persist so that your dreams can continue to exist." I'm a firm believer in the power of just showing up. Don't be afraid of failure. Be afraid of not trying. And finally, the digital transformation throughout all of AEC is not going to be slowing down this year. Dan threw out another challenge to ask yourself, how can you position yourself as a business leader to take advantage of the moment and things that others are pulling back from? And that's a great place to start your goal setting this year. I'm really excited to hear more from Dan as he keynotes the Digital Agility Summit by Applied Software on January 21st. Don't forget to claim your complimentary ticket today as a thank you for listening by using the code BTG. If you're interested in learning more, you can visit our sponsor, Applied Software, at ASTI.com for more information. You can listen to this podcast anytime by simply going to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, be sure to check out our website, bridgingthegappod.com. As always, I'm Todd Wyant, thanking you for joining us on the Bridging the Gap podcast. Keep innovating. Bridging the Gap is directed and produced by Todd Wyant, edited and produced by Eric Daniel. Bridging the Gap is an Applied Software production. Copyright Applied Software 2021.